From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. Is there an adult out there who has not, in a moment of fatigue or insomnia or on a particularly hard day at work, looked around and asked themselves, is this it? Is this what I want my life to be? Even people who have plenty of money and status and work in their industry of choice may find themselves fantasizing about a job that engages their spirit. A new book from the School of Life series sets out a practical guide to negotiating the myriad choices and overcoming the fear of change and finding a career that has meaning. Roman Kaczmarek is a founding member of the School of Life, and he advises organizations from Oxfam to the UN on using empathy and conversation to create social change. He's on the line from Oxford, England, to talk about his new book, How to Find Fulfilling Work. Roman, welcome to the program.
Well, it's a great pleasure to be on the program, Virginia.
So you write about a number of people who've decided to change their careers and really change their lives. What are some of the common symptoms or feelings that people talked about being dissatisfied with?
Well, one person I actually interviewed for this book, she was so dissatisfied with her job that she was a lawyer, actually, that she ended up putting a search term on the internet saying, what to do if you hate your career? But she's the kind of person, like many, who feels this kind of fatigue with their work. You know, people who don't have that energy to get up in the morning and sort of bound into work. But it's not simply that. It's this feeling that you're not really in a state of flow when you're in your job. You're not sort of in the zone. You're not in the present. And when you don't have that, that's when job dissatisfaction kicks in. And it's extraordinary that in the United States, job satisfaction levels are at their lowest in recorded history. Only 45% of people are happy in their jobs. So there's a real epidemic of job dissatisfaction.
People tell you, it doesn't feel like it's the permanent me. I feel like an outsider in my job, a little bit of a fraud. What do you think, Roman, are some of the causes or roots of this discontent now, today, with work?
One of the things that happens is that our self and our work gradually drifts out of alignment over time. We're incredibly bad judges of our future selves. So when you're 18 or 24, you might decide to be a lawyer or a radio producer or an elementary school teacher. But what happens is that who we are changes, our interests, our passions, our talents. We have families. And so by the time you get older, there is that divide between who you are and the career that you have. And something needs to be done to close the gap. But the other thing that's happened, of course, is that since the end of the Second World War, there's been rising expectations across the Western world for, you know, work that is more than just a salary. People have a hunger to trade up from money to meaning because they've had their material lives satisfied in some ways, and they're looking for something more.
This is a contemporary affliction, though. Fulfillment, you point out, is not even a word found in the first dictionary published by Samuel Johnson in 1755. So in the intervening years, we have this idea that there is this perfect job that would make us jump out of bed in the morning and feel fulfilled. Is there such a thing? Is there a perfect job?
Well, I am pleased to report that there isn't. That means you don't have to worry about it if you don't feel you've got it. There's this great myth that there is one job sort of floating out there in the ether, an ideal vocation that if only we knew what it was, we could just sort of pluck it out of the air and we would be satisfied for life. But what the modern research on career change shows is that the way to find enjoyable work and fulfilling work isn't by just suddenly coming upon this perfect career. The thing is that we have multiple selves, multiple identities, and we need to experiment to find the right job. Take someone like Vincent van Gogh. You know, he wasn't always a painter. He first was a art dealer, then he was a school teacher, then he tried being a book dealer, then he was an evangelical preacher in the Belgian coal mines. Finally, he stumbled upon painting. It took him quite a lot of experiments to find the right job for him. And I think that's the same for many of us. Instead of finding a vocation, we've really got to grow it over time.
Mm. So you call it being a wide achiever rather than a deep achiever. So what do you think gets us there? What most inhibits us from changing our careers?
Well, even though around half people want to change their jobs, around half of those people are too afraid to do so. And there's lots of standard reasons. People feel that they aren't going to achieve as well in a new job. They're worried financially about whether they can do a job that has meaning but take a salary cut. And what actually happens is that people are prey to something that all human beings suffer from, which is a kind of risk aversion. As a psychologist put it, we hate losing twice as much as we like winning, whether that's at the casino table or in a relationship or when trying to find the right career. We tend to exaggerate everything that could possibly go wrong. And that's one of the reasons why people stay in jobs that they've long grown out of.
Roman Krznarek is with us. He's talking about finding meaningful work, and he's a founding member of the School of Life, which consults and produces seminars and has this year started publishing a series of books for helping people to consider life's big questions. He's the author of the new book, How to Find Fulfilling Work. Well, what you are asking us to do is sort of change this model that we've thought about changing career, we've used when thinking about changing career, meticulously planning. You know, you have to have something lined up before taking the next action. You're urging us instead to act first and reflect later. So what does that mean? We try on new jobs?
That's exactly right. When the first vocation bureau opened in Boston in 1908, it started selling us a method of finding the right career, which has been around now for a century, which is the idea of the plan and implement model, where you spend lots of time planning and doing research into new careers, you take some psychometric tests, you make long lists of your strengths and weaknesses, and then you try and match those up to a particular profession or job. Then you start sending out resumes and making applications. Now, that method may well get you a job, but it's unlikely to be a fulfilling one because you haven't tried out jobs in the real world. You haven't done experiential learning. So instead of thinking then acting, we need to flip that on its head and act first and think afterwards. And an extreme way to do that is what I think of as a radical sabbatical. So one woman I interviewed for my book, in her 20s, she had a series of miserable jobs in arts administration, and for her 30th birthday, she decided to give herself an unusual present, which was to spend a whole year trying out 30 different careers. So she held down a part-time job to pay the bills, and the rest of the time she was shadowing, interning, volunteering. She was a manager of a cat hotel. She followed a politician around. She was a bed and breakfast review writer. And what she discovered was that finding the right job is a bit like finding the right lover. So you might have 10 criteria for the perfect lover, and you meet someone who ticks all the boxes, and they do absolutely nothing for you. But then you meet somebody who ticks none of your boxes, and they completely blow you away. Mm. And that happens when you can be experimental. The problem, though, is that not everybody feels that they have the courage to do a radical sabbatical, but there's another way of acting first and thinking afterwards, which is to do what are called branching projects. So you hold on to your existing career, and you don't have to dramatically resign on Monday morning and step into the abyss of the unknown. You can start doing experiments on the side. So you're an unhappy investment banker on the weekends. You can do some freelance web design or teach yoga on Thursday nights. You start doing these small experiments, and by taking small steps, you gain the courage to take that big final step to do something new.
Roman, you identify three essential ingredients for a fulfilling job. Meaning, I think we've talked about, but flow is something you mentioned earlier, and freedom. I'd love you to tell us more about this concept of flow. What do you mean by that?
So flow is a concept which was invented by a Hungarian-American psychologist called Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. And the idea of flow is when you're doing activity and you're totally in the zone, the past and present doesn't sort of seem to matter. The past and future don't matter. You feel totally in the present. You're completely absorbed, whether you're a heart surgeon or you're giving a presentation at the office. And the idea is that to gain fulfillment, you want to maximize being in these flow states. And one of the ways to do it is to set yourself tasks, which are challenging and creative, but not so easy that you get bored doing them, but not so difficult that you're afraid of failing. And Csikszentmihalyi says, well, we can recalibrate our own jobs to give ourselves more of these flow-like tasks. But the thing is, if you're miserable, unhappy IT manager and you've got a nasty boss, you may not have the space to do that. You might have to look for flow outside your existing career. And when I'm teaching classes at the School of Life in London and in other countries too, I often ask people to think about keeping a flow diary for a month. So at the end of the day, you simply note down when you were in this state of flow and what were you doing. Was it when you were standing up and giving a talk at work, or was it when you were cooking a supper for 12 relatives on a Sunday lunchtime? And that is going to give you clues about what flow really looks like for you as an individual.
Mm-hmm. Flow may also not be the option for, let's say, that peasant farmer on the slopes of the Andes, or even a Greek civil servant with a college degree. They may not have the luxury of finding fulfilling work that flows. It's kind of a first world problem, isn't it?
What's really interesting is if you talk to people from all walks of life and in many countries, whether they're taxi drivers or investment bankers, more and more people actually are searching for meaning. But of course, it doesn't mean that everybody has it within their grasp. Sometimes you may not have the choice to find flow in your job and that kind of flexibility. And one of the things that we can try and do is to try and make our existing jobs more enjoyable. And what the research shows there is that what really matters to people is having autonomy and good relationships and a sense of respect. I mean, I used to be a college professor, and I gave it all up to experiment with being a professional gardener. And I was shocked to discover that I was really unhappy as a gardener because I wasn't getting respect from people. People would walk straight past when I was weeding in the rain and not take any notice of me. And I didn't even realize that really mattered to me. So, and there's things like respect that we can try and find in work, even if we can't necessarily find a job that uses all of our passions and all of our talents.
Roman, I'm sorry that we have to wrap up, but I'm just wondering about growing a vocation. I mean, people inventing their own jobs. Are we going to be living in a world of, you know, yoga teachers and beekeepers and ethical pig farmers with nobody working in the factories?
Well, it's really interesting that this has been the great revolution of our time, the rise of flexible working, the rise of working from home. A lot of big companies are trying to rein in their workers and take away that flexibility, including companies like Yahoo recently. But actually, I think this revolution is here to stay. And once people have tasted moving into that freelance world, being somebody who has a bit more autonomy, they find it very difficult to move back, even though being freelance, working from home, being part-time, being a portfolio worker, can have a lot of insecurities, financial insecurities. Once you've tasted freedom, you almost never want to give it up again.
Roman Krznarek, author and founding member of the School of Life, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you very much for having me here.
Roman also consults with Oxfam, the UN, and other organizations. He's got a new book out from the School of Life series. It's called How to Find Fulfilling Work. And we have a link to more on the book at wordofmouthradio.org.